You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The major Jewish American weekly called Forward began a July 28th feature news item with these words: "Despite mounting international criticism, growing divisions within Israel, and sharp operational disappointments on the ground, Israel's military campaign in Lebanon continues to enjoy unwavering support from the Bush administration and from traditional pro-Israel circles in Washington, including a wall-to-wall coalition of Jewish organizations." Michelle Warshawski is definitely on the other side of this divide. Author, activist, and founder of the Alternative Information Center in Jerusalem, today Michelle is in Tel Aviv, one of the organizers of an anti-war demonstration. Because he would be unavailable today, we contacted him earlier this week for an interview. I began by asking Michelle why, in a recent article, he had used two adjectives, weak and small, to describe the Israeli anti-war movement.
For several reasons. The first reason is that the huge majority of the Israeli public endorse the understanding of the war as a war of Israel, of self-defense, Israel having been attacked without any reason from the north by the Hezbollah, which is an Islamic movement claiming to destroy the state of Israel. And therefore, we have not only the right, but the duty to defend ourselves. This is the first reason of the weakness of the Israeli, what used to be a mass Israeli peace movement. The fact that this war, unlike the invasion of Lebanon in 1982, is not perceived as an aggression, which it is, but as a self-defense. This is connected to the second reason, which is the very broad joint understanding of the world being divided into a civilized world led by the United States of America, fighting the global threat of terror, which is more and more identified with Islam and the Islamist organization. And this perception is not only a perception in the right, it is a perception which is going very deep in what used to be the left and important components of the peace movement. The third reason is more connected to the, less to ideology, but to a reality. The main, the hardcore of the peace movement, the mainstream of the peace movement, peace now, in fact, has disappeared since the beginning of the Oslo process, and certainly with the beginning of what has been called this, the Second Intifada, as a mass movement. The Israeli government being involved in a peace process, the majority, the great majority of the constituency of peace now felt that they have no, there is no need to exist anymore because peace is the reality. And when finally this process get to a dead end, the we were already part of the war against terror, meaning with the Palestinian uprising or more precisely what was presented as a Palestinian uprising as a replacement of a policy which seemed to be a policy looking for a compromise in order to achieve peace and coexistence to a policy return to a kind of policy of destroying Israel through terror means as part of a global terror phenomenon which was part of the Bush overall and global discourse.
Given those weaknesses and small size, still, is there any trend for increasing support, particularly given the lack of military decisive success so far by the Israeli army in Lebanon?
the opposition to the war and the opposition to the occupation itself was always composed by three elements. One element was what and is what we call the small wheel, which are the more radical organizations engaged in a principal struggle against occupation, engaged in a principal position and action against war, not sharing at all the dominant discourse. The small wheel, which has been very efficient during before the and during the first Intifada, during the war in Lebanon, and in fact is quite strong today too, even stronger today than it used to be during the Lebanese war. But this small wheel used to move in order to be efficient and to have an effect on the policy decision making process, the big wheel, which was the mainstream peace movement represented by Peace Now and the left Zionist parties, these disappeared completely from the map, and today, in their great majority, identify with the policy of the government and the dominant discourse of clash of civilization, in global war against terror, and so on. The third component, which is very strong even today, is, I would say, not a movement, but an opinion among the elites, which one can read in the newspapers and hear even in the electronic media and the radio and the television, of journalists, intellectuals, art people who are expressing their criticism from a moral standpoint or sometimes from an analytical standpoint, criticizing the logic and the inner logic of the policy of the government. They are very strong today. If you read Haaretz newspaper or other daily newspaper, you will see plenty of these articles criticizing this war from an ethical point of view as well as from a political point of view, in sometimes in very sharp words.
Let's turn for a moment to the Israeli military political leadership. They gave a rationale initially for their invasion of Lebanon that they wanted to get back two soldiers who were taken prisoner of war. But they shifted very quickly to a frank declaration that their objective is to destroy Hezbollah, as in the Palestinian case, clearly their effort is to destroy Hamas via the method of destroying, in fact, Lebanese and Palestinian societies. But there's also a rhetoric among the Israeli leadership that Syria and Iran are behind Hezbollah. Do you think the Israeli government has concrete objectives for even a wider war that would include Syria and Iran?
The Israeli war, if we can call it war, because it is so unbalanced, and that I don't like the concept of war, but the Israeli aggression is openly, consciously, publicly part of the global, non-ending, preemptive war of the United States of America. It is how it is presented by the White House. It is how it is presented by our own ministers. We are not fighting our Israeli war, we are fighting the war of civilization against terror. And two enemies are identified as urgent enemies. Hamas on the Palestinian front and Hezbollah on the Lebanese front. The war against Hezbollah was planned. The pretext, and I think it was planned for the autumn and not for now, the pretext was the kidnapping of the two prisoners of war. But part of the Israeli-American strategy was to attack these forces in the meantime. Iran and Syria are identified as rogue states, as enemies, as a danger for the new American global project of a democratic Middle East, so-called democratic Middle East. I don't think that the target right now is to attack either Syria or Iran, but to attack them organizations which are presented as being their advanced outpost, I would say, in and at the borders and inside the Israeli-controlled territories.
The Canadian government has joined with Blair in the UK and with Bush in the US in both supporting and indeed encouraging the Israeli aggression. Among the world states within continental Europe, for example, are there any states seriously working to stop Israel?
Unfortunately not. And this is a big negative turn on the international field. While at the war against Iraq, there have been strong oppositions, not only among the popular opinions throughout the world and millions of demonstrators, but also an opposition in some of the European governments and leaders like France, Germany. What we have been witnessing the last 4 years has been a gradual deterioration of the position of Europe in general, and these countries in particular, accepting more or less the American leadership and the American hegemony. And there is not anymore, I just read an article in one of the French dailies, there is not anymore a French-Arab policy, which was very well-defined, defending their interests. Concerning Lebanon, France is ready to accept the American umbrella in order to have a share of power in the American hegemony on the area. And it's not out now of confrontation with the American policy, but out of accepting American hegemony, like it was during, like Britain, during the war against Iraq, and in exchange receiving their small share of power, of economical control, etc.
You have written a rather terrifying sentence to me in a recent article, that the dominant discourse over the recent years has degenerated from a war against terrorist groups to a war against terrorist states to now a war against terrorist peoples. That meaning a total racist logic. Is that logic deeply embedded in the Israeli public?
Definitely. You don't speak anymore about identify enemies, whether an organization or a political regime. We have a dominant discourse treating with the concept of clash of civilization. We are in war with the Arabs. We are threatened by Islam. Islam is a whole civilization. It's hundreds of millions of people around us. And this conception of being in war with Islam, though adding that there are some Islamic regime with whom we can have some kind of coexistence, but the dominant discourse remains a discourse of clash of civilization. And this is why there have been very, very, very little outrage, for example, in Israel, when civilians have been massacred, whether in the southern neighborhoods of Beirut or in Qana in South Lebanon. As if it is part, and one of the last declarations of Chaim Ramon, the Israeli Minister of Justice, was, we warn the people that they should live in Qana and other villages in South Lebanon. And for us, the conclusion is that everyone who remains is a terrorist.
To close, maybe I would ask you to explain another comment you've made, that Israel's own military political government poses the greatest threat to Israel's national existence in the Middle East. Could you first explain what you mean by national existence, and then why you think they, the government of Israel, is in fact the greatest threat to Israel's national existence?
I use the concept of national existence in order not to enter into the debate about the state of Israel, what kind of state. The existence of an organized Jewish community, whether in any kind of political framework we can imagine, is, in my opinion, in danger, seriously in danger, by the global strategy of our government, supported by all the Israelis, by all the Zionist parties in Israel, from right wing to left wing. For the simple reason, if you consider that you are in war with the Muslim civilization, with the Arab peoples as a whole, with the Muslim civilization, which is threatening our own Judeo-Christian civilization, a concept which is suddenly more and more used, then we have nothing to do here. We'll not empty the Middle East from its Muslim population. It's much easier to empty the Muslim world from its Jewish population or its Jewish national grouping under the name of State of Israel and any other name. And by declaring a war against our human environment, against the huge majority of the area, and claiming that we don't like your civilization, this, it means that we close the door of coexisting, of being able to exist as Jew, with a Jewish identity, with a Jewish culture, with a Jewish, with Jewish political and national institutions, in whatever framework we can imagine, in this area. It will be much, if we declare a war to death between us and their civilization, I bet that their civilization is a little bit bigger. Though today the military relation of forces are in favor of Israel, as a way of existing, ultimately it will mean using nuclear weapons, which may harm a lot the Middle East but destroy Israel. So I think that the policy of our government, of the whole Israeli ruling elite, is madness, is absolute madness, and it is in reality in rupture with a trend which existed in Israel in the 80s, 90s, trying to find our place somehow with our neighbors, not finding the exact details of the formula of coexisting, but looking for such a formula, and all the negotiated process was in that direction. Now, if our self-perception toward the Arab world around us is the same we have with the Palestinian, that it is a matter only of relation of forces and trying to in fact annihilate the very existence of the other, then I think we are in trouble much more than the Arab world or the Muslim world around us.
That was Michel Warshawski speaking from Jerusalem. We spoke with him on Wednesday. He's a journalist and author. His most recent book is titled Toward an Open Tomb, The Crisis of Israeli Society. He's also founder of the Alternative Information Center, a joint Palestinian and Jewish-Israeli organization. You can check out their website at alternativenews.org.